First of all, this Lord's Day, I would like to apologize for not wishing all our listeners and their families a wonderful and safe Memorial Day. And of course, we need to remember what this day is representing, to memorialize those that gave the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy in this country. And so this morning I thought what I would do is have a sermon on the greatest memorial is the Lord's Supper. And as we partake of the divine feast, we need to remember what Jesus endured to make our salvation possible. Luke chapter 22:19-20, for example, notice when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Did you notice it was in the present tense Jesus said that? Well, Jesus knew what was coming. Luke 22:19-20 here is one of the passages we sometimes read before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, we need to be reminded of what happened before the cross. You know, Judas was a chosen disciple, yet he betrayed Christ. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. All the disciples deserted. The illegal trial that occurred. And Jesus was scourged, despite Pilate declaring that Jesus was innocent of wrongdoing. And Jesus, after bleeding, was forced to carry the beam as far as he could. And then he was nailed to the cross, the post already in the ground, and the beam placed up on that post, there between 2 thieves, our Lord and Savior. So let's go now to Mark 15:29-34, and we'll want to begin our study with this text in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to remember those initials, PFE, to help us stay focused in doing just that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. As, yes, of course, we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, if you are interested in having a Bible study together, we would gladly set that up at your convenience. If you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, one other announcement I want to make, and that's the upcoming gospel meeting to be held at the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis, there at the corner of Five Points and Stop 11. The date of the gospel meeting, June 7th going through the 10th. And the speaker, Brother Neil Pollard. And the times for Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and then a 1:30 PM service, and I'm sure they're going to serve a potluck lunch in between there. And Monday through Wednesday, 7 o'clock p.m. So make your plans to attend the gospel meeting there at Stop 11. Now let's get to our study this morning concerning this question. What would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross? And let's go now to Mark 15, 29 through 34. Mark 15, 29 through 34. And notice together. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priest, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As you can see here, this text is a good study for us to make, because we need to ask, well, Jesus was challenged to come down from the cross. What would have happened had he came down from the cross? Well, first of all, there would be no salvation. Let that sink in. There would be no salvation. That is only made possible by the sacrifice of Christ, as there's no other way. By dying on the cross as the Lamb of God for the atonement of our sins, Christ appeased God's wrath. God in the flesh, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. But had he come down, and had he came down, there would be no salvation. Ephesians 1:7, let's notice together. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." We have redemption how? Through his blood. So you can see the importance that Jesus came down from the cross, there would be no salvation. Romans 5, 8 through 10. Let's notice this together. Romans 5, 8 through 10. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." That should prick our hearts. Number two, what if Jesus had came down from the cross? There would be no Church of Christ, obviously, because salvation is in the church, which was purchased with the blood of Christ. You see, this is a terrible thought. No salvation and no Church of Christ. We put on Christ, of course, through baptism, Galatians 3:27. We're buried into his death in order to contact his precious blood, Romans 6:3 through 6. Jesus is the Savior of his body, the true church, Ephesians 5:23. He purchased his church with his precious blood, Acts 20:28, how sad it would be to have no Church of Christ. Sadly to say, most people do not even care about the one true church you read about in the Bible because they believe a lie. How many churches did Jesus promise to build in Matthew 16:18? I will build my church. He didn't say churches. He said, I will build my church. In Ephesians 4:4, how many bodies are there? How many bodies does Jesus have? He has one, and it's the spiritual body, the church. Why can't people accept the truth? Because they're believing a lie. Notice Ephesians 4:4. It doesn't say two bodies or three, or how it says one body. Now, number three, what would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross? There would be no hope. Imagine having to face death with no hope. Have you ever read what well-known atheists have said shortly before their death? Well, it wasn't too pleasant a thought that they were having. Ephesians 2:12. Let's notice together Ephesians 2:12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Notice that. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's what it was like before they obeyed the gospel. They were without hope and without God, and the same is true today if people are outside of Christ and accountable for their sins. They're without hope. Notice Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. An anchor holds the ship steady, and hope does not, that holds us, keeping us sure and steadfast. Notice Romans 8:24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But what a terrible thought. No hope. But let's go on. What would have happened if Jesus came down from the cross? Number 4, truly the world would be a horrible place to live. It's bad enough as it is. But think about without any Christian influence. Well, imagine a world where everyone is only living for self with a survival of the fittest mindset, the philosophy of do whatever you please because it does not matter what you do. Let's remember, who is the prince of this world? Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's a terrible thought to imagine a world without Christianity. Well, let's go now to another question. We've seen what would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross. No salvation, no Church of Christ, no hope, a terrible place to live in this world of woe and selfishness. But let's ask this, what did happen on the cross? Well, first of all, Jesus endured the cross for us all. Hebrews 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let that sink into our hearts. He endured the cross. He did what? He despised the shame. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Isaiah 53:6, here's prophecy of the suffering Savior. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's right. The sins of the world were on Christ as he was on the cross, and his heavenly Father could not step in, or else we would have no salvation, no Church of Christ, no hope, and be in a horrible situation to live in. But what was the attitude of Christ while he was on the cross? Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father. He had the beautiful attitude of forgiveness. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, the soldiers did, below. Well, let's ask this. When was this prayer of Jesus answered? We go to Acts chapter 2. We'll notice verse 23. Him being delivered by determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That's what they did. So when they obeyed the gospel the day the church began there in Acts 2, notice verse 47. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were forgiven of their sins when they obeyed the gospel. Let's notice another question. What happened on the cross fulfilled, well, this is not a question, but we need to point this out as we're answering the question, what did happen on the cross? Well, what did happen on the cross fulfilled the plan of salvation as it was God's purpose. We certainly need to know this. Jesus did not fail in his mission. Well, the premillennialists imply that he went to plan B. No, sir. Look at John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He accomplished his mission, and this is when he could bow his head as we go on, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. God never fails. Don't ever think that. Jesus, he succeeded in his mission. God predestinated the plan, not the elect, as the Calvinists say. Let's look at Ephesians 1:4-5. Ephesians 1:4-5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The plan, not the man being that's going, elect being saved. No, it's the plan of Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins. That's right. Now, here's our final question. What should happen because of the cross? let's make application to our study. First of all, we should realize God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all know John 3:16, do we not? The golden text, John 3:16. But do we realize God's love for us? If someone saved our life, how would we respond to that person? By being indifferent, or would we be very grateful? You see, Jesus, he does not twist our arm. He simply says, and this is Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Verses 28 through 30 there in Matthew 11. That's the invitation of the Lord. Have we accepted it? Well, what should happen because of the cross? We should respond to God's love. Not only just realize it, but respond to it. We love him because he first loved us. In other words, 1 John 4:19. And here's something else. What should happen because of the cross? We should be motivated to do works of righteousness. Good works. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That's right. What should happen because of the cross? Well, we should bear our own cross. Let's go to Luke 9:23, and this is Christ. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There are three things to deny ourselves. We're going to have to sacrifice, give up things we may want to do, but it's not the will of God, and God knows best. Trust God. Take up our cross, put to death anything that stands in our way of doing the will of God. That's right. Put it to death. The cross was an instrument of death. Let's put to death whatever it is that stands in our way of doing the will of God. And of course, the last thing is to follow Christ. We follow him by staying with his teaching, the doctrine of Christ, our obedience to the gospel of Christ, and then to live it every day. This is daily to do this. Note that. So we've answered the question this morning. We've answered these questions, rather to say, what would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross? No salvation, no hope, no Church of Christ, and what a terrible place it would be to live in. We've noted what did happen on the cross. Jesus endured the cross, suffering the shame, doing his Father's will, completing his mission. And what should happen because of the cross is our response to God's love, as we certainly are to realize it. So have we responded to God's great love? Have we? If not, it's not too late. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. Are we remembering what Jesus did for us? What does our life say? Are we worshiping scripturally on the Lord's Day in the body of Christ, following the New Testament pattern, that therefore we're going to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? We're going to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to look inward and look forward to his second coming if we're prepared. Examining ourselves, that's right. But if you have not obeyed the gospel, what does the Bible say we must do? First of all, we have to hear the truth, learn what the will of God is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now we are to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who went to the cross for our sins, John 8:24. Once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we're ready to repent. Yes, giving up a sinful life and doing the will of God. Changing our way of thinking. Going in a new direction. Luke 13:3-5. Now, we're ready to make the good confession. This is made unto salvation. We're not there yet, but we're to state that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Having stated the good confession, now we're ready to be immersed, buried, underwater, baptism, to contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Notice Romans 6, beginning in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. When did Jesus shed his blood? In his death. John 19:33-34. Here in Romans 6, this is a burial, to be buried into the death of Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Verse 4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. As we come up out of that watery grave, our sins are gone. And this is by the blood of Christ. So what happens then? The Lord adds us to his body. We're not going to join any church. We're going to be added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself. Acts 2:47, we quoted earlier, did we not? And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now here's where we need to remain faithful, even if it means our death, and we'll have the victory. That's right. And we want to thank you so very much for listening today.